Good afternoon. Oh, good afternoon. Good Lord. I'm normally loud. Now I'm really loud. Welcome to Dallas. It was nice of the folks of Dallas to give us the entire downtown to ourselves. I think that's been delightful. So we're here to have conversations. We're here to start talking about what's going on, and I'm going to talk just really briefly because while they've been so nice to put my picture on the front of this, the truth is that you are the real stars of today and are going to do all the work, which I like even more. So we're going to talk a little bit, and I'm just going to start a little bit to seed the conversation, and then we're going to turn it over to Catherine, who's going to walk you through what we're going to do for the afternoon. We'll be back then to work together. And then we're going to come back tomorrow if you have the opportunity to talk some more. So I want to talk a little bit about why conversations are important. And I think there's a particular conversation we need to have, which is the expectations we have on ourselves as professionals and as a profession. Conversations matter. Conversations matter. I know, you know, the truth is that we talk about all we did is talk. ALA and committees, we know about talking and talking. And talking at a round table that spawned a task force that spawned something else. So I understand that talking and conversation gets a bad rap. But conversation is very important because conversation is ultimately how we learn, how we know things. Not just from talking with each other, but groups talking amongst themselves, and we do a lot of talking within ourselves, talking to ourselves. And all my colleagues in the reference desk will realize that sometimes we do that out loud and inappropriately, but it's still an important thing to do. Conversations are how we determine what we know. It's how we test out theories, how we come to agreements, how we figure out what it is to be ourselves. When we're reading a book, we are not having a conversation with the book. We're not having a conversation with the author. We're having a conversation with ourselves. Does this make sense to me? Do I believe it? Don't I believe it? Is this something I want to remember? Ooh, I got to steal that idea. What is this piece of crap? Etc. Right? That's an important conversation to have. Conversations matter because really the results of those conversations are our behavior. A budget is a conversation. A policy is a conversation. Conversations are how we shape the world around ourselves because it's how we come to understand them. How we constantly have this dialogue back and forth. How conversations lead to our actions. I noticed that Bob Merton is in the hall. I'm going to try and steal a story that you told me once. I apologize. You were, I believe, as State Librarian of Texas, having a conversation with the legislature, and at some point they requested you to do something, and you said, I'm sorry, sir, but we can't do that according to the law, which he looked at you and said, son, we write the laws. Right? Conversations. I went to the Occupy Wall Street librarians. Do we have any of those folks in the room? If so, give them things, because they're brilliant. And they talk about what their role was, which was talking about what we want to be society to be. What does it mean to be a fair society? How do we hack the world that we exist in? How do we work the source code of our society? Those are conversations. And conversations are very important because they do two things. Within a conversation, we are both shaped by that conversation and we shape the conversation. When we go through and we're having a dialogue, a true conversation, not what we have with our children where we tell them about the world and they sort of talk back and we say, isn't that nice? But when we have a true conversation, we are both shaping that conversation. What do we want to talk about? What are we going to pay attention to? What's important to me? Hey, we should talk about this. But we also must be shaped by it. What do you find interesting? Oh, I hadn't thought about that before. Here's a new perspective. And those conversations are very important. Today we're going to concentrate on the shaped by. We're going to talk about the most important conversation as librarians we can have, and that is an ongoing conversation with our community about what makes them a better community. What do they aspire to? What do they want to achieve? What do they want to be? What do they dream about? And good libraries, good librarians must be shaped by that conversation. A doctoral student of mine just finished up, Sarah Webb, did a brilliant study. And she looked at how public libraries are developed in Namibia. And the study began because when she went to do work in Africa, and they were building public libraries for the first time, she walked in and she saw pictures like this, which could have been in Des Moines, which could have been in Syracuse. She was amazed that as she traveled the globe and she would go from library to library to library, they sort of looked the same. Now, some clearly had better furniture budgets than the others. Some clearly had a few different visions, but ultimately they were going to find the plaques with the call number somewhere. There was going to be something that looked remarkably like a reference desk. What was going on here? And she looked at how we shape libraries. In the developing nation, they want to look like us, and frankly, we want them to look like us, and so we begin to shape things. But when you really begin to scratch at the surface, you find out that while they may have a circulation desk and they may have a reference desk, they use them for very different things. They have a whole new theory about how those work. Libraries emerge out of conversations. And instead of looking at libraries as something where we come with a blueprint and say, this is what a library is, and train people to it, we need to have conversations with our community and say, what do you want to be? What do you want to do? What do you want to accomplish? And shape ourselves to them. That's today. Tomorrow, in that conversation, when we have that, we also have a stake. We have skills. We have perspectives. We have viewpoints. So, once again, thinking about the Occupy Librarian conversation from this morning, they would say things like, everyone was a librarian. They used, my favorite phrase was, democratic shelving. Right? Which is, put it where you think it belongs. And I thought, and I got a tweet, I tweeted that out, and someone tweeted back almost instantly going, and then maybe they could find them again. But, right? How do we know, how do we organize, how do we shape this? What are our values? How do we hold those values to be important? How do we bring those values? Because the truth is that we need to be of the people, not for the people. We're not just a service that sits as adjunct to a community because, oh, we have to have a library. We want to reflect that community. We want to come to the day when people walk into libraries to learn about the community and not for the community to walk into a library to learn about everyone else. So what I want to do is I want to talk about that and briefly just get you ready for some of those conversations. Because we do a lot of conversations. And frankly, we're in the midst of a massive conversation about what is the future of our field. What do we want to be? What are we going to be? Now, what's interesting is I think that dialogue has shifted from are we going to be to what are we going to be? And I think that's an excellent and positive advancement, but we're not quite there yet. So the example I put up here, this is Lauren Smedley and Sue Constantine from the Fayetteville Free Library, which is in my backyard, and they started a fab lab, a fabrication laboratory in the public library, makerspace. People can come into the public library and they can do 3D complex printing. They can create their own objects. They can do all sorts of things. And what was great about this conversation is every librarian in the world stood up and went, yay! And it wasn't because it was a fab lab, it was because suddenly libraries were being discussed on Boing Boing and Engadget and Gizmodo, and everyone who used to never pay attention to us, suddenly we were in Forbes and on NPR. And this was the coolest thing ever. And we talk about ourselves, but there's an interesting corollary that goes with this, which is while this has an overwhelmingly positive response in the library community and in the local community, it has raised very interesting questions in other places. Here are some of the comments they got. For example, this was the title of the Gizmodo article. Can 3D printers make libraries useful again? Is there an implied worldview in that question? Right. In comments to that, so let me get this straight. A place with 3D printing, 3D fab labs, CNC routers, and laser cutters is called a library now? Right. Or my favorite, it's a little long. The role of the library, they buy, organize, and lend books. With some modest variations on that, them, I don't know. That's it. Now you want them to bring in, make available, operate, maintain, and oversee power tools and a wide range of capabilities and even wider range of possibilities? What, are you nuts? Come on, they're boarders with nicer people and worse coffee shops. But, you know, this idea that what's happened in Fayetteville, a very progressive, frankly, affluent suburb of Syracuse, they have, she sent it out to members of the community and they wrote back and said, that's great. Why? Right? We're challenged with this all the time, which is, what is our role? And the reason I bring this up is that we, as a profession, over many, many years, have trained the community of what to expect from us. right? Another example, keeping with the Syracuse theme, Syracuse decided that they were going to go with an off-site storage. Their library shelves were full. They were going to pack them all. They were going to move them. I learned through this process, you never call it off-site storage. You call it extended shelving. Mistake number one. But the idea was that suddenly the humanities faculty and students were up in arms. They were insane. They were crazy. They're like, you're going to take a crappy library and you're going to make it smaller? What's going on? And then they would come over and have sit-ins, which was hilarious. When all the graduate students showed up to have a protest in the library, and all the librarians were scurrying around to help them do it. Right? You know, do you need copy facilities? Okay, we can do that over here. Oh, here. You need a citation here. But what happened, and by the way, it turned out to be a magnificent story because in the end, the library got a greater budget and got more space. But it turned into a very interesting dialogue where religion professors and history students were looking around and going, what's that over there? Why they were moving materials off the shelves wasn't for just the heck of it. It wasn't to put up a beautiful piece of sculpture. It was for learning commons. It was for meeting spaces. It was for collaborative spaces. All the things that we know from going to these conferences are cool and hep and awesome. And so what happened is, if you were in library land and you saw what happened, it made perfect sense. You saw the progression of dialogue. You saw the logic. And yet there was not an ongoing conversation with the community. So when suddenly this began to happen, the community went, wait, aren't you just a place with books? And why are you clearing out the books on the basement to put in these meeting spaces? Get rid of the meeting spaces. Get rid of the coffee bar. Put in more shelves. We love you when you're hoarders. Leave us alone. I was testifying to the Dallas City Council last week, and a councilman made a great thing. He says, how do we inspire the community with visions of libraries doing more as a platform for community innovation? Because I know if we just ask the community, they will say more buildings with more books. How do we train them to expect more? Right? A couple of hints. When we're starting this conversation, don't ask a library member. Some people call them patrons. I like members because I think they have ownership and they've got cards. They just need the jackets. Don't ask them what they think of the library. It doesn't matter because it's not about you. Don't ask how the library can help. Members don't know, and it's up to you to answer that question. Instead, ask them what problems they need to solve and ensure they can. I think all too often when we try and have these conversations, when we get focus groups, when we get surveys, when we get phone surveys, we call people up, our first question is, do you still love us? Was the coffee okay? Well, what we really need to say is, what's the matter? How can I help you do that? And their first response will probably be, well, this is what's the matter, but that's not the library's job, and that's our chance to go, isn't it? Why not? What do we want to be? Because ultimately, we need for people to expect more out of libraries. We need them to expect more out of librarians. You need to expect more from yourself. This is very, very, very different from the concept of doing more with less. That's garbage. Right? No more talking about doing more with less. We need to be talking about doing better so we get more. We need to be talking about how can we serve these needs today? How can we deal with a dynamic community? And that means that we need to expect more. We've trained people to think of us as book warehouses. We must now train them to think of us as knowledge institutions, as innovation centers, as places of learning, or places of community. We need to expect more from our colleagues. We will not have the conversation of dead wood again. We will not have, I'm just a good worker, B, leave me alone. We have no space anymore left for those folks. We have pruned down to the bone, and we have no more room for people who simply say, give me the order and I will carry it out. We don't have room left for people to simply stand by and wait to serve. We need people to be proactive. We need to expect more from our community. We need to stop talking about consumers and customers and users. We need to expect that people will participate within the library, within the civic life of an institution. To be a citizen, to be a student, to be a faculty member is much more rich than simply someone who consumes and leaves. We must talk about participants. We must talk about fully fleshed out individuals. You must talk about people who contribute back, who serve back. We need to expect more. We have for too long not scared the hell out of our communities. And for too long, we have thought it all right if we don't involve them in the process of innovation. We must change that. Because ultimately, this is about grand challenges. Grand challenges is something I've been thinking about a lot recently. Grand challenges are the concept where you can make a great leap in society. And you see it in physics, you see it in genetics. I tweeted out, what's the grand challenge of librarianship? And the only response I got back was, how to keep more librarians employed. If that is the grandest challenge that we can aspire to, I don't think we're going to meet that goal. It is only by solving the problems of the communities, by making a better community, by making a better day for that community tomorrow, that we will ever talk about how can we fulfill our mission and how can we get the resources to do it. Our communities are drowning. We have the idea of the middle class disappearing, fighting for opportunity going away, increased social stratification, the idea that opportunity is determined more by your zip code than the content of your ideas. We have a challenge in education where we have too many people dropping out, or worse, too many people being passed through the system where they don't understand. We have a problem when they come to the university and must bankrupt themselves to follow a passion and find increasingly that that degree is not going to help them succeed. That's a grand challenge. We have a grand challenge in our governance. We have a grand challenge that when we increasingly talk about what is our better tomorrow, we end up in ideological bickering. We are a model of a civil, civic conversation. We must model that for others where we don't constantly put quick, cheap wins ahead of what we want to be. We must deal with the challenge of energy consumption and a climate change that we are dealing with. We are living far beyond our means. We must deal with the challenge of an increasingly walled garden of digital information where we cannot find what we knew yesterday and we cannot build a platform for creating new things tomorrow. Those are our grand challenges. That's what our communities need. That's the conversation we need to have. Not, do we have enough journals for you? And by the way, is an e-book nice today? If we constantly try to answer the question about what's the new format, we'll be chasing it and irrelevant. If we don't solve the question about what do we as a community, as a society, as a city, as a university, as a government, as a company want to be, if we don't get messy in the real problems and aspirations of our community, if the library does not become an aspirational institution that we build for a better tomorrow, then we will stop having conversations altogether because they won't be relevant. That's the conversations that we need to have. We need to expect more of ourselves, of our colleagues, and our community. We need to move beyond a profession of what we do to a profession that has an amazing impact that changes lives. That's what we need to do. And we're going to start today by talking about our community. As you go through these tables, as you have these conversations, you will want to talk about yourselves. You will want to talk about what doesn't work where you are. You will want to talk about what skills you do or do not have, what resources you do or do not have. Hold those for tomorrow. Start with what they need. What they need. I know you need a lot. Valid, important. But what you need should always be in the light of what that community needs and what that community aspires to. That's our conversation for the day. So Catherine Dice is going to come talk a little bit about how we're going to do that. Thank you.